Hour number two, Darren, Donick, Chase on this Wednesday morning. We're going to give something away. But we're not doing it until we get loaded lines. Two people fell off during the break. We have two lines available, and I'm not going to do this until they're all loaded up. So 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. A hockey question to give away some WWE tickets, which will be at Bridgestone Arena on Monday night, December 2nd. Monday Night Raw. And by the way, these tickets aren't even on sale yet. They go on sale on Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. But we're not going to do it till two more people jump on there. We got to have loaded lines because it's going to take full participation. By the way, speaking of that, Smashville Live returns tonight at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. That's located at 1855 Galleria Boulevard. And that is from 7 until 8 o'clock this evening. This week's guest tonight will be Predators GM David Poyle and his son, the assistant GM, Brian Poyle. First 50 people there will have an opportunity to get an autograph or a picture. Fans can win tickets to see the Preds take on the Sharks at Bridgestone on Tuesday, October 8th, plus Nash. And the Preds energy team will be there. Smashville Live is brought to you by Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. It's going to be a fun, fun atmosphere tonight. Hope a lot of you get out there. Remember, we're going to be doing, we have amped up those shows. Amped them up.
Yeah, we have.
To say the least. The Smashville Live on steroids, but these steroids are legal.
Yeah, it'll be cool to have it every week and do different things.
Okay, we've got loaded lines, guys. So we're ready.
Ooh, yeah.
I await this question. Okay. With bated breath. This is going to be good.
Tickets for WWE Monday Night Raw on the line. Okay. Let's start with Mark.
Hey.
Mark, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, guys. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Here is the question. Now, I only want you to throw out one name. There's six players available for this question. If you correctly guess one of six, Mark, we will put you on hold and you stay alive. If you lose, Max, we X him out because we're only going to do these callers right here, okay? Everybody's
locked
in.
No more entrants.
No more entries. Loaded lines, and these are the participants. Mm. If you miss, Mark, unfortunately, you're out, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Six players last season reached 100 points. Six players in the NHL reached 100 points last year, which was the most in any season since the 06-07 season when seven players reached 100 points. Name one player who had 100 points last year to stay alive.
Hmm. Oh, boy.
You can do it. 3 seconds.
Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
I can't even.
Gotta have a buzzer.
Call me.
In the words of Vincent Kennedy McMahon, Mark,
I'm fired.
You're fired.
Yeah. I had an answer to it. Didn't go off my tongue.
Sorry.
I was going to
Sorry, Mark. Thank
That's
you.
That's all right. Thank you. All bye-bye. Right.
All right. It seemed like a really nice guy.
I was rooting for him.
Seemed like a nice guy.
It is a little bit of
pressure.
A disadvantage because now the rest get to think about it, right?
Don't be that guy, though, starts flipping around your phone and looking at stuff up. Come on.
Don't do that. Let's go to Scott.
Scott, stay alive, Scott.
You're up next. One is eliminated. I need one player who had 100 points last season in the NHL. First time since 06-07 when they had seven players do it. Six did it last year.
How about Kucherov?
Let's see. That guy down in Tampa, he goes by Nikita Kucherov. Is that correct? Yeah, I think he had 100 assists. So
he had a lot of points.
In the words, a lot of points.
Of WWE superstar Daniel Bryan, yes, yes, yes.
Scott, you stay alive. We're going
to
put you on
hold. Alive. Stay alive. Remember Daniel Day-Lewis, Last of the Mohicans?
Mm-hmm. That was probably the one that was the easiest, right? Kucherov.
Yeah.
He had a ridiculous
low-hanging fruit. Yeah.
Let's go to Jason. Let's see if Jason can stay alive. Jason, can you name another player?
Yeah, I think so. I was going to go with Kucherov too, but I have to go with McDavid.
Connor McJesus. I mean McDavid. Indeed, Jason, he did have 100 points last year. It is hard to believe Edmonton even had anyone close to it. But, you know, they could score.
That guy is going to score.
Couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah. That's two.
They had lots of problems last year.
So we got four more?
Four more. So Jason is alive. Oh, we just lost. James just fell off. Did we lose him?
Yeah.
James,
are you there?
He gone.
Was he out of picks?
I think he hung up because he's like, uh-oh, I don't know this one.
Uh-oh.
Harry, you're up next. Can you stay alive?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I like it. Confidence. Who do you got?
I'm going to say Patrick Kane.
Patrick Kane. Boo! Did have a big season last year. Sorry. Just a natural reaction. But that is indeed correct, Harry.
He's alive.
Blackhawks, Taze, and Kane were very good.
They had a lot of points. They scored a lot of goals. They gave up a lot of goals.
All right.
We have three contestants. Field down to three.
Two are gone. Yeah. Three are alive. Let's go back to Scott. There are three more correct answers. Scott, do you have one?
Unfortunately, I think Sidney Crosby was one, too.
Boo! Yes. Unfortunately, you are correct.
This list is also not the list of the Predators fans' favorite players from the other teams.
Jason, two more names.
Man, I'm going to go with the Grade 8, Alex Ovechkin.
This is getting tougher now.
Ooh.
This is getting tougher.
He will be here next Thursday, a week from tomorrow. Ovechkin. Oh, no.
Had a lot of goals.
Sorry, Jason. Thank you.
But he's a shooter. He doesn't get the assist to get the 100.
Usually, he can get you halfway there with the goals.
A lot of times, that's pretty good.
But he needs 50 more assists, and usually he doesn't get that.
How close did he come last year?
I don't know. Look that up.
I'll look it up.
Let's see.
He was not in the group.
That eliminates Jason, so that leaves Scott and now Harry to stay alive. Harry, we're down to two names. Can you stay alive?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Say Nikita Kucherov.
Say that again?
Nikita Kucherov.
Nikita, I don't know what you said. I think you meant Kucherov. That's already been said. He is off the board.
This is his brother.
Oh, is this
they have the same first name.
Yeah, Kucherov is off the board.
Thank you, Homer.
Okay, what about Leon?
Leon who?
Leon Dresnitz.
That is blinking fertilizer.
Thank you, Ben.
I got to be honest.
I think there was a cheat sheet.
We got to eliminate
Leon.
Harry, we just
Dredson.
We admire that he really wants to go see the wrestling. I can guarantee you. He wants to see the wrestling. It's somebody handed him a slip of paper.
Can you play back Leon?
Yeah, we need to hear the pronunciation of Kucherov. And
give him a second.
Can we do that? Which means
we may have just given away one.
Scott, you've won, but can you name somebody just for extra credit?
The guy that plays with Connor McDavid.
Jeez, Chase, you all right over there?
Sorry.
Holy
cow. I'll give you a hint. The guy did get the first name right.
Well, you're right.
Dreisaitl.
Leon Dreisaitl.
There you go.
Or Dreisaitl.
When he said
Leon, his money.
I knew Harry was in trouble. Leon D.
Dreisaitl.
At least he didn't spell it.
Yeah, he did not spell it.
Would you like to buy a vowel?
We kind of felt like Harry was cheating. He got Nikita and Leon, but he was having a little trouble with the last names. There's one more name.
By the way, Ovechkin, if you're curious, had 51 goals and 38 assists, so 89
points. Can I guess at the last one?
Was it Stamkos?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Pasternak?
Nope.
He missed. He got hurt and missed some time.
Anybody else have a guess? Anyone?
Was it Marchand from?
There we go.
I was close.
Boo!
You had the right team,
Boo!
The right line.
Marchand, dirty player.
Not the most popular guys on this list here.
No. So indeed, it was Marchand. So those are the six. Scott, are you a wrestling fan?
I can become one.
Well. You will have that opportunity on Monday night, December 2nd at Bridgestone Arena. So congratulations. Awesome. We're going to put you on hold and go have fun at that show on that Monday night.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to put him on hold. Scott was the winner. And I'd like to give Harry something just for providing some humor
on the other side
of
the break. We're going to have the replay of him.
That was fantastic.
That was awesome.
All right, we will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Nikita Kochbis.
Thank you, Homer.
Okay, what about Leon?
Leon who?
Leon Dresnitz.
Dresnitz.
Okay, so we have our soundbite every time the Oilers come to town now. Who's that really good player besides Connor McDavid on the Oilers?
Leon
Dresnitz?
That's fantastic. I told you Seven did it in 06 and 07, so let's see how good you guys are with that. So can
now
you
we're
name
going back Nikita?
Nikita. Nikita who?
Nikita Kochbis.
That's awesome.
Klutschkus?
He is clutch.
He is clutch. He's pretty darn good. In fact, that guy is responsible for the only loss in preseason for the Preds.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a clutch goal.
Anybody have a name?
From 06-07,
Seven did it.
Crosby.
Crosby's
Malkin.
Gotta be
one. No Malkin.
Ovechkin.
Crosby. No Ovechkin.
Thornton.
No okay. You. How many are you going to guess here? Hold on. You. Malkin is a no. Ovechkin is a no. Crosby is a yes.
St. Louis.
And who did you say? Thornton?
Joe Thornton.
Big Joe is correct. Who'd you say?
Marty St. Louis.
Yep. There's three.
Ooh, good call, Chase.
It's three. Three of seven.
This is going way back.
There's somebody else on his team.
LeCavalier.
LeCavalier.
Yeah, there's four.
Pipe down back there.
This is my wheelhouse right here.
I know.
06-07.
Is there a teammate of Joe Thornton's?
They eliminated the Predators in the playoffs that year.
Nope.
100 points.
Am I allowed to guess again, Chase, or no?
Hang on. Who was in the Cup final?
In the Cup final was 06-07 was the Ducks beat the Senators. Yeah. Danny Heatley?
Ooh, Danny Heatley.
Thinking of the Senators?
That's gross, and that is correct. I knew that was the one I didn't. I was like, nobody's going to get Danny Heatley.
Danny Heatley.
I don't think the Ducks had a 100-point guy. I don't think.
Nope.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe Perry.
I don't think the Red Wings.
One of the guys is a GM.
I don't think the Red Wings had a 100-point guy. They had very balanced scoring.
One of the guys is a GM?
Yeah.
Stevie Y.
Nope.
No, he would have been done by then.
Is he not a GM anymore anyway?
No, Stevie Y is with Detroit.
He's the Wings GM.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Guerin?
No. Bill Guerin, 100 points? No.
Well, I'm trying to think of...
He was good. He's not 100 points. 100 points was back then... Well, it was a pretty high scoring year because it was out of the lockout, a couple years out of the lockout.
All right, I'll give you it. This guy is...
An NHL
not playing,
GM, we should be able to get
still
that.
Still getting paychecks.
Not playing, but still getting paychecks.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Pavel Datsyuk?
Nope.
Hossa?
Marian.
Oh, good
Hossa.
Call.
Okay.
And the GM?
By the way,
Joe
traded,
Sakic.
Traded for
GM
Danny Heatley.
GM in the Predators division.
Joe Sakic.
Joe Sakic.
Joe Sakic still getting it done at 06-07. How about that?
There you go.
Still at 100 points in 06-07. That's impressive.
It's good.
Did you know Heatley was traded for Hossa? Straight up, that was a good, interesting trade.
For whom?
Yes.
Well, usually things didn't work out very well for the Thrashers in anything they did.
Yes.
I mean, look, they don't even have.
That's why they went away.
They don't even have an alumni team on NHL 20. So they just kind of the Jets use the. It's just no, that's just the Jets. Thrashers are.
What are your guys' thoughts on the Bills game on Sunday? You heard me ask that to Rex Road to close it out in the last hour.
Well, this is my thought. Minshew, one of the things we discussed during that week was the mystery of him. Where does he fall on the spectrum? Is he one of those few guys that actually does have that skill, that flair, that unexpected ability to go in and make something happen? And he did. He did a lot better than I think a lot of people thought he could do, including myself. And he backed it up with another good performance last week and got him a road win. Matt Barkley, I think, is a little bit more of a known quantity, if that's who plays and that's who it looks like is going to play, right? Yeah. I don't know if it's official, but it's looking that way, right?
Kind of how it's going right now.
So Matt Barkley has played enough games to where you're saying, okay, he is at best a serviceable backup. It's already an offense that is not a juggernaut. So I think this is the same type of game plan that you wanted to have against the Jaguars that you couldn't play because you got behind early. The early turnover, all of a sudden, is 14-0. And you can't just play the field position game. I think ideally, you stay in the game. It's a tough defense you're going against. But you have to hope your defense can put your offense in good situations. And you use Brett Kern for your field position game. The Buffalo Bills have very poor special teams. Now, they got a punt block for a touchdown last week, but in Football Outsiders, they're 30th in overall special teams. So I think that's your blueprint. They have not stopped the run particularly well, the Bills. So maybe this is a game that Derrick Henry, again, can play a big part. So I like the field position. I like the old school Jeff Fisher kind of game plan for this one. Try to win with my defense. Grind it out.
The biggest thing for me, and this is why I've been so critical of the offense and Marcus Mariota, is just the lack of consistency. They had a good game last week. They had a good game against Cleveland. Do it again. Just do it again. Do it 2 weeks in a row.
This is a much better defense, would you admit?
I agree.
It looks, at least on paper, the way it is.
Oh, no, it's legit.
So this is not a game that you would think you're going to rack up a whole lot of offensive numbers that look sexy.
And listen, that's not what I'm saying. They don't have to go out and score 27, 30 points.
They're not going to.
Right, and that's fine. Just be consistent. Move the ball, and then, like Willie said, let the defense pick up where the offense, you know, has some deficiencies. But just be consistent. That's all I'm asking them to do.
And you remember the final last year?
Yeah, it was.
There wasn't a 13-12?
Yeah, it was 13-12. One-point game, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You can win those games. You just have
and they,
to.
They probably should have won that game.
Well, they would. Totally. Nick Williams catches it, sure.
And remember also something that happened in that game. They turned the ball over too much, right?
Right. They just protect the football, run the football, be consistent. That's all I'm asking them to do. Like it sounds so easy. I know it does, but that's been the biggest problem.
That is easier said than done.
But has that not been their biggest problem? Is just not being able to back up? Like they look great.
Yeah,
they look great.
But that also puts them with a lot of. There's a lot of teams that, in the NFL especially, are probably saying the same things to some degree in some version, because it's so hard to dominate in this league. There's very few teams that can be dominant. But you're striving for that, so I agree with you, Chase. Let's see if they can do it.
The Rams might be rainy. 55 at home to Tampa.
Yeah,
how do you explain that?
There's always something, right? Especially in the early weeks of the season, that has you going.
The Vikings just dominated the Falcons first game of the season. Dominated them in the last 2 weeks. They are awful.
It's a fair point. The NFL in general is just inconsistent right now.
Well,
it's early in the season.
Pretty much, right? I mean, how do you explain Carolina going into Houston and beating the Texans? How do you explain it with Kyle
with
Allen?
Backup, yeah.
How do you explain
Kyle
that?
Allen losing three fumbles in the game?
Yeah. And still winning on the road.
Yeah. There's things that don't make sense.
It's an incredibly difficult product to predict.
And what I am saying, I'm not putting all of that on Marcus. It's going to be on everybody. The receivers need to play the way they did last week. I would like to see more of Adam Humphries. I would like to see more of Delanie Walker. So Deion Lewis, can he show up at some point?
When you say that, though, Chase, it's still he has to shoulder most because it's the quarterback play dictates so much.
I understand.
And so, you know, it's like Kirk Cousins. It's the same thing. They're killing him.
Look,
right? The first couple weeks, it's like, okay, everything is okay. And now the last 2 weeks, they are just absolutely crushing Kirk Cousins.
I was critical of him after a win, and I got crushed for it because nobody wants to hear anything bad about Marcus Mariota. I'm just pointing out what I see, that he's inconsistent. I want to see it, you know, put together quarter to quarter, half to half, week to week. I don't think that's asking a whole lot.
We're in year five. I mean, we know that's – it's more than fair at this point. Let's go to Brad. Brad, what's up?
Hey, guys. Comments and a question for you guys. Obviously, the other day, Mariota was under the direction to get rid of the ball and not take a sack at any cost, judging from some of the throws that were, you know, 20 yards out of bounds, which is a step up from being third and 18, or second and 18. So that was a good thing. The good thing is, they're 2-2. They're in the race of division. Here's my fear, and here's a question for you guys. What do you do if they're 8-8 and Mariota has 15 touchdown passes, looks okay, not great? I mean, what do we do? Yeah, and that's the fear I think most Titans fans have. We're heading down that road.
Well, how do you answer it? If we throw it back at you, how do you answer it?
Hey, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's tough because there's a lot of worse quarterbacks in the league, you know, and he's going to go somewhere. I mean, you know, if we let him go, he's going to sign somewhere. I don't know. I mean, but then you look at guys like Minshew and you know, the real rookies that are starting, they're actually doing fairly well and exciting to watch. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. And that's a hard question. My thing is probably I would re-sign Tannehill and try to draft a rookie or do something to try to get something exciting in there. And that's kind of my thought.
Here's what's crazy, Brad. Just think about what we were just talking about right as you were calling in. Kyle Allen is undefeated as the Carolina Panthers starting quarterback. He's like 4-0 all time. Yeah. I think he won the last game of the season. Is he 2-0 or 3-0 this year without Cam?
2-0.
He's 3-0 as the starter for the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton has, I think, lost his last 8 or 9 starts as the quarterback of the Panthers.
Yeah.
You got people are now saying that they should just stick with Barkley in Chicago and not even break when Trubisky's ready. Just stick with
Daniel.
Chase Daniel. What did I say? Barkley?
Yeah, Barkley's.
Chase Daniel. People are like, just stick with Chase Daniel. He's better than Trubisky. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And like you said, Minshew, undefeated as the Jags quarterback. He's a 6th-round pick, and he's a rookie.
I thought he lost one. Or was that when he came in relief?
Oh, yeah, that wasn't on him. He hasn't lost as the starter.
Right.
By the way, was Kyle Allen undrafted? Am I saying this right?
Yes, undrafted free guy.
Yeah. Wow. What?
Do we want to go 8-8 for the next 5 years?
Well, and that to answer your question, Brad, I think if you go 8-8, 9-7 again, and the scenario plays out where it's 15 touchdowns, it's mediocre, you have to ask yourself, are you willing to just be a mediocre team? Because that's what you are. Going into, at that point, year six, that's what you're going to be with him.
But if your roster is in a position to win, then starting over at quarterback is a tricky,
thing. But we all said that
thing.
This year it was. So what's the excuse for next year?
Because
we all went
in
this year saying there are no more excuses.
That's why it's such a difficult decision to make.
When would it ever be
perfect?
Because
you're looking at Andy Dalton. You're looking at Tannehill. You're looking at a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the options that are out there. There is not.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Look at all these examples we're talking about, and it's working.
Like, do you think, though, that the Broncos are happy right now, today, that they went out and went for Flacco?
No.
Like, he's not getting any younger.
No.
Right? So they could have lost without Flacco.
Yeah.
Right? They could have been trying somebody new. So it's such a hard thing to do. So here we are. We've played 1 month out of 4. And our position on Mariota is probably no different than it has been for a good while now, that we know he's good enough to play, but we know he may not be good enough to take you where you want to go, but you can also do a lot worse. You can do a lot worse.
And you know what? That's a bad place to be, right?
It's a horrible place to be. You don't have any more time to buy.
It's
you've
like
got
always
to make
drafting
a decision
at
8-8.
You don't. There's no reward at all. You don't make the playoffs, and you're in the middle of the pack in the first round. So it's just a horrible, horrible place to be.
There are intriguing quarterbacks, though, that you could develop, but it's a big, you know, gamble if it works out.
Doug, what's up?
Hey, guys. I've been thinking about it early in the season. And just heard NFL Network or one of the networks talking about how Jameis, you know, is looking good. Bruce Arians has developed quarterbacks, and both Marcus and Jameis had a good weekend. My question to you guys is, and I've said all along, I don't think either one of them will be around this time next year. So my question is, who do you think will be with their respective programs this time next year?
And which who are you asking us about? Jameis?
Will Jameis be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Will Marcus be with the Tennessee Titans?
You know, the Winston thing is interesting. Winston has rebounded pretty well.
The same
so far.
Thing. The minute you get excited, there's going to be a four-pick game, and they'll get their doors blown off.
Well, he has thrown five already this year. He's second only to Matt Ryan.
So I'm saying the minute you fall in love with Winston, there will be an El Stinko game, and it's right back to square one. I mean, it's the same thing. It's the highs and the lows, and what do you do? The highs are really
good. I think Winston's on a different team because I think Bruce Arians is just going to want to go get his own guy.
But it's an interesting question because Bruce Arians just got there.
Who's his own guy, Carson Palmer?
Yeah, he'll come out of retirement.
Who's his guy?
Kurt Warner. Those guys can still throw it. They can still spin it.
Andrew Luck.
But now, why am I blanking on the
Matt Leinart?
Matt Leinart. Who are you trying to?
Well, the big quarterback from Marshall, the ex quarterback. He's the offensive coordinator.
Byron Leftwich.
Yeah, Byron Leftwich. Yeah. So they have some new coordinators, new ideas. It'd be interesting if he can sustain this because they're in the very same boat.
I know.
What's the alternative?
I know, but
now the Bucs might be in a little bit more of a, well, we need to sort of break it down and rebuild, so let's go draft.
But here's the
guy.
When you say what's the alternative, but what has been, give me the ceiling. Is the ceiling good? No, the ceiling's average.
No, it's average.
That's not a good place to be either, right?
When you Very say, true.
I get it. There could be a drop off, but right now, if your ceiling is average, is that a good place to be?
No.
7-9, 8-8, 9-7? If that's your ceiling, well, then. What are you talking
You're
about?
You're the middle of the road every year. I have a question on Marcus that I almost don't want to ask, but we're right around it, so I'm going to ask it anyway. You want me to do that now, or do you want to?
Well, let's real quick. Curtis, let him weigh in. Curtis, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment on the caller a minute ago that asked whether Winston and Mariota will be with their teams next year. I don't know about Mariota because I believe I'm not sure how much Tennessee Titans actually care or the fan base cares. As long as Mariota's okay and nice guy, it seems that's fine. But I believe 100% I would bet everything that I have that Winston will be the starting quarterback of the Bucs next year.
You would bet everything?
He just won,
everything yeah, he just you have.
Yes. I mean, he just won NFC Offensive Player of the Week. And yeah, he has five interceptions, but three of them came in week one of a brand new offense.
Curtis,
and since then he's the seventh-ranked quarterback in the NFL.
I think you're out of your mind to make that comment.
He's off to a good start. You got to give him that.
I agree.
But to say you would bet everything you have that he'll be back.
I mean, look at it this way: the Bucs, unlike the Titans, brought in a starting quarterback to back up Mariota because I believe they don't have 100% faith. The Bucs let Fitzpatrick walk and brought in literally nobody. Behind Winston, because they
now,
are.
Now wait a minute.
Sold.
They have the man from last year who played here, Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, see what I mean? Absolutely nobody.
Exactly.
I agree. That helps James' chances.
I just wanted to make that
Do you want to make a lunch bet?
You don't think he'll be
sure,
back next
absolutely.
Year?
Absolutely.
I wouldn't bet everything.
No,
I have, but
100%.
I think,
come on. I mean, I'm not saying it can't happen, but 100%.
100%. I have no. About it. I told my brother before going into the season that Winston will be signed or that he'll be the starting quarterback next year. It could be a franchise tag, but he will be the starting quarterback next year.
What percent are you on the kicker being back next year?
I have no idea. Like, I swear to God, you know, like we talked about last time I called in, he'll miss four kicks and then he'll kick a 58-yarder and go perfect. I have no idea. I'm just going to go with he's a rookie and I'm going to pray to God our kicking situation doesn't keep going like this.
Curtis, I love your passion, but I think you're crazy to say you'd bet everything
yeah.
that he'd be back.
I would definitely make the lunch bet.
Okay. Let's do it. We got it down. Me and Curtis have a little
All
lunch
right.
bet.
I love Curtis as a caller. He's got the excitement we're looking for.
But 100% by every.
No, he said he'd bet everything.
He'll be back next year.
We talked him off the ledge. We got him down to lunch though. That's good.
You know what I should have asked him? Do you have much, Curtis? Do you have nothing to lose?
I got nothing.
I live in my car, man. I got nothing. I don't know. That's pretty lofty. All right, we'll come back. We'll learn a little bit more about the opponent of Vanderbilt. We'll talk to Nick Suss. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget tomorrow, silly underdog picks. We'll review, we'll make our picks. Weekly winners, pair of tickets to an upcoming sporting event here in town or our concert. You can go to thegamenashville.com or ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and play along with us. You get three picks out there. We only get one.
Darren and I have to find a good one.
We need about eight. We need about eight.
You guys need, yeah. You guys
need something.
Struggling. Struggle bus.
Of course, silly underdog picks every week and every year. We really appreciate this. Sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. And we do appreciate them being on board yet again. Had some really interesting phone calls here in the last segment, bringing up some really tough questions to answer.
Yeah.
Good questions that are really tough to answer.
Well, okay, so this is a question I want to throw at you guys. And this is the one that I don't necessarily want to ask, but I'm going to, because he's in a contract year. Would you be shocked? I'm not asking if you think it will happen. I'm just asking, would you be shocked if Marcus, at the end of the season, pulls a Andrew Luck or Jake Locker and says, you know what? I'm good.
I would be shocked.
And because the Titans have decided they're... You know, it's looking like they might move on. And he's like, I'm good. I'm going to walk away.
I would be shocked. Unless there is some injury that takes place between now and then that has his long-term outlook affected. Like
Another elbow injury. But he's had injuries.
So, I mean, that's why I'm asking this question. Because he's battled injuries throughout his career.
I get no indication from him that he wants to stop playing.
I mean, look, at some point, I would agree. I think an injury does change that tone. But, I mean, if it's just going to be like this the rest of the year, then no. He's
going to make some money in this league somewhere.
If there's another horrific injury.
Whether it's here or somewhere else.
Could he say, I'm done with this? I'm done dealing with this stuff? Sure. I mean, there's still a long ways to go. There's 12 games left. So.
Right. And truthfully, if I'm just, you know, if you're asking me to make a decision right now, based upon how he's playing, even though I think he's got a higher, you know, caliber, he could play better, the Titans probably resign him. They probably are like, all right, we're good with this. We're good with 9-7.
What do you pay him?
Well, see, that's where I think it is the question. That's where the rubber would meet the road in that scenario, because he has to be a bargain. He has to be a guy that you're getting at a rate to where you have extra room in your salary cap.
What's a bargain in today's game?
I'm not enough of an expert in the cap to be able to do that, but I would try to squeeze him. I would try to say, you want to be a starter
here?
There's
no way you can get 30 million. $30 million or more, there's no way.
Or do you tag him and buy yourself a year?
That's a tough one, too.
But that's a way high number.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that.
I wouldn't do that.
I really wouldn't. The Kirk Cousins deal,
yeah.
I wouldn't want that.
Let's go to Nick Suss. We've always enjoyed our conversations with him. Covers Ole Miss for the Clarion Ledger. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
Before we talk about Vanderbilt's opponent on Saturday night down there in Oxford, you know we've talked to you about the first two picks of the Titans. The last couple times we've talked to you, and Jeffrey Simmons, of course, has not touched the field, but A.J. Brown certainly has touched the field and had two games now where he's been quite impactful in two road games, first game of the season in Cleveland and this past weekend down in Atlanta. What do you make of A.J. Brown, kind of the emergence here in the first month of the year?
I can't say I'm too surprised just because I happened to see him really emerge as a talented player for so long at Ole Miss. But the one thing I will say is when he was at Ole Miss, I never really thought of him as a deep threat. That was more of DK Metcalf's role on the team. AJ was more of the go over the middle player, be the slot guy, rack up 100 catches a year. So seeing the Titans use him kind of as the field stretcher has been impressive for me, because he was, I mean, the knock on him in the pre-draft process was he didn't have the top flight speed. I mean, you saw him outrun the entire Falcons secondary on that first touchdown of his the other day. the second touchdown was more of what I was used to, of him just bodying up a corner and being more physical and being the talent he is. But his emergence as a deep threat, I mean, you guys have followed the Titans as long as I have, you know they haven't had a deep threat maybe since they've moved to Nashville. So if A.J. Brown can be that guy, that'd be huge.
Yeah, I was going to say the thing that's really popped out at me is, you're right, that second touchdown, that's kind of what we were expecting, but it's been the yards after catch, right? I mean, he's had some really big plays where, you know, it's the yards after catch that got everybody's attention.
Yeah, and he had the ability to stretch the field. He had the ability to go after the catch when he was in Oxford, but it was more because he was going through people. He wasn't avoiding contact, and he still isn't. He's not shy. But the way he's been able to, I think back to that first catch of his against the Browns where he kind of turned on the jets and ran through the entire secondary and made a lot of people miss until he ran out of room to his left. I think that's really impressive and really indicative of how he's been able to grow, how he's been able to adjust, and maybe the way the Titans can use him off of Corey Davis and use him off of Delanie Walker to get him into space a little more than kind of similarly to how they did it at Ole Miss with DK Metcalf and Dawson Knox being able to create space for him.
6:30 kickoff down in Oxford. This is a critical game for both programs. So let's start with a critical position. We know in football, the guy that's under center, who's going to be out there on Saturday night for Ole Miss?
The best bet is both.
Oh, okay.
So Ole Miss has made it pretty clear in the last 2 weeks that they are comfortable using a two-quarterback system. And if there's anything that people might remember about Rich Rodriguez from his days at West Virginia, Michigan, and Arizona, is that he's never been afraid to use a two-quarterback system. He even used two quarterbacks when Pat White was at West Virginia, and Pat White was one of the most productive college quarterbacks ever. So if Matt Corral is healthy, which I got to see him at practice a little bit yesterday, he looks like he is back to full range of motion. The question is, can he throw? And I think that I haven't seen him throw yet, but I do think he should be ready by Saturday. I expect him to probably be the predominance, and that's a scary thing to say when I haven't seen him throw. But I do think that John Rhys Plumlee did enough last week against Alabama to justify having a couple of packages. And whether that's a 50-50 split or giving him two drives early as a running quarterback, I do think we're going to see both of them. A lot of that hinges on whether or not Corral truly is healthy with bruised ribs. You kind of just have to wait and see. There's no way of knowing if he's going to be able to throw and breathe and do all of the things that a quarterback needs to do in the pocket. But they're going to put rib protectors on him, and I would be kind of surprised if he didn't play.
What did you take? What was your biggest takeaway, Nick, from their performance against Alabama? I have to think that they were not demoralized at all. They got carved up like a lot of people in some ways, but they had great moments in that game. They had some times where they had to walk off the field going, hey, we look pretty good against the best there is.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway is actually building off of that, which is Matt Luke and his staff refused to think that way. After the game, I asked, hey, you scored four touchdowns against Alabama, and all of them were thrown, caught, ran, or both by a true freshman. Two true freshman quarterbacks threw three touchdowns. A true freshman quarterback ran a touchdown. A true freshman running back caught a touchdown, and two true freshman receivers caught touchdowns. You got to be excited if you can do that against Alabama. I asked Matt Luke about it, and he says, we're winning. We're trying to win for our seniors now. There's no excuse for losing this game. We came here to win, and we didn't do that. And they kind of reiterated that on Monday when we got to talk to him and Mike McIntyre and Rich Rodriguez, the coordinators. They are trying to get to that 6-win plateau, and maybe it's possible. If you look at the schedule, that involves upsetting a team like Texas A&M and Mississippi State and a couple of those. But they really are using the blueprint that they had against Alabama to think, hey, maybe Ole Miss isn't done yet. And I think to your point, if you look at some of the things they succeeded at against Alabama, whether it was they've been very stout against the run all year and they kind of held Alabama without a good rushing attack until the second half when the game got away, You look at the way the offense was able to move the ball pretty consistently. You put up 31 points against Alabama. You're always going to be pleased. I think all of that kind of combines to being something this team can build forward from.
You just sort of spelled it out. You look at the schedule, and Vanderbilt is exactly in the same spot where everybody who follows these teams realizes that this is a massive swing game for both. So sometimes I think you lose sight of the other team's perspective on it. So from Vanderbilt's perspective, it's like this is one they've got to have realistically to get to where they want to go. But it's the very same thing for Ole Miss, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the math, Ole Miss had 7 or 8 winnable games on its schedule to start the season. They've already lost 2 of them because I don't think anybody saw Cal being a top 25 team when they got to Oxford and they lost to Memphis by 5 points week 1 in a game where Ole Miss really hadn't figured out its new offense yet. I think that if Ole Miss loses this game, the math becomes borderline impossible to get to a bowl because then you'll need to get your 3rd win against New Mexico State, and then 4, 5, and 6 have to be against, well, Mississippi State and Texas A&M, but then your other 3 games are Auburn, LSU, and I'm missing somebody, but you're starting to Missouri, but you're starting to play really, really top-tier teams. It's going to be tough, and I know Vanderbilt's in a similar boat, maybe being in the SEC East. They get to avoid Auburn this year. They get to avoid Alabama this year, but it's still a tough road for both of these teams, and I think either team, whichever team loses this game, they're going to have to really upset a lot of people to get to 6.
We're talking to Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger about Ole Miss as they take on Vanderbilt this weekend, and with all of that said, of talking about trying to get bowl eligible, and you have 2 new coordinators, what is the temperature of Matt Luke's seat right now?
I don't think it's as hot as some people are anticipating, for one, because last year's recruiting class was pretty darn good, as I mentioned, when you had so many true freshmen scoring against Alabama. This year's recruiting class is shaping up to be pretty much as good as last year's was. And then there's the major issue that I think people in Mississippi are sick of hearing about, but maybe people in Nashville might not be super familiar with. Ole Miss has an interim chancellor and an interim athletic director. So it's really hard to fire somebody. There's not anybody full-time in a position of power to approve of these decisions. So you'd have to be asking an interim athletic director or an interim chancellor to approve of a new head coaching hire, which I don't know if anyone who is looking to get that job, whether it's the chancellor job or the athletic director job, whoever comes in probably wants to pick their guy. So unless they can get those hires done by the Egg Bowl the last weekend of November, I don't necessarily see the timing working out. So that might favor Luke as well. But also, when you're on probation for 2 years, this is your first year off probation, it would be kind of doing him dirty that he took this head coaching job, steadied the ship through what could have, you know, tanked some programs and kept them around that 5-6 win plateau while they were on probation to cash out in year one off probation might not be a great look for the university.
It's going to be an interesting game Saturday night. Critical game for both teams, but only one's going to emerge as the winner, and who knows what the discussion piece will be on the team that loses. Nick, thanks for the visit as always. We'll talk to you down the road.
I'm happy to talk, y'all.
All right, that is Nick Suss, Ole Miss beat writer for the Clarion Ledger. That'll do it for hour number 2. We'll kick off the 3rd hour with Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him. It's coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.